Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. This week, Dr. Jack Culbreth dialogues with Dr. Clarice Rapisarda, both of the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, regarding KCREP standards and the current standards revision process. Dr. Culbreth is the current chair of the KCREP Board of Directors.
Hello, I am Dr. Clarice Rapisarda. I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Counseling at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And I'm very pleased to be here talking today with Dr. Jack Culbreth. Jack, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for us. Tell us a little bit about your background, your education, currently where you're at.
All right. As Clarice said, my name is Jack Culbreth, and I am a professor, assistant professor here at University of North Carolina at Charlotte also. And currently, I am the chair of the KCREP Board of Directors. I've been a faculty member for 10 years now. This is my 10th year, and have had previous positions at Penn State University, where I started, and 5 years I spent at the University of Virginia as a faculty member there. And I did my graduate work at UNC Greensboro.
So you kind of come full circle back into North Carolina.
Back into North Carolina, yes, where I was born and raised and where they know how to do barbecue.
Yes, that's what I've been hearing as I've been acclimating to the culture.
Barbecue is a noun, not a verb.
All right. And I understand that you're currently chair of KCREP?
Yes. Yep. I've just finished, this coming July, we'll finish out my first year as the current chair of the KCREP board. And prior to that, I had been on the board for 3 years with the year previous as serving as the vice chair. And so now I'm halfway through my first 2 year term as chair of the board of directors. Now the board has a 2 year term, and a board member can be the chair for 1 2 year term with the option of running for an additional third year. That may or may not happen. It depends on if the board wants to reelect me for that.
I see. And just in case we have any new listeners to this, could you tell us again what KCREP stands for?
KCREP is the acronym for the Council for the Accreditation of Counseling and Related Educational Programs. So KCREP is the organization that is in charge of reviewing and granting accreditation for counselor education training programs across the country.
Thank you. So you have been chair of KCREP. You're finishing your first year.
Yes.
And how long has, while you've been in this position, tell us some of the things that you've been finding out about KCREP.
Well, it's been a very interesting learning process. A KCREP board member typically serves initially for a three-year term, and then with a subsequent reappointment for a second three-year term. And most board members will and have historically served a six-year term. And in that process, it's been a very interesting learning curve because you start out very quickly having to review materials. And if you've never been a site team member, the idea of getting all these self-studies and having to review them and figure out what to how to make heads or tails of them can be quite daunting. But you have to you learn a lot in the first couple of years of being on the KCREP board, and then you start to feel comfortable about the end of your third year. And so that's why one of the nice things is we do have board terms that go beyond just a three-year period. And what I've been struck with about the whole process has been how much time and effort and energy programs put into the accreditation process. The information that we receive and the work that is very evident in that is just amazing. The people, the programs, the departments, they spend a lot of time and they compile a huge amount of information for us to review. And it is very impressive with what they do.
And if somebody was interested in becoming a site reviewer, I know I just did that myself at the ACES conference this past fall, so that's something that people could choose to contact KPREP.
Yes. If someone wanted to become a site team member, what they would do is contact the office and put in an application. And then that would be reviewed, and at that point, the KCREP office would let the person know when the next training is. We typically do trainings associated with the ACA conference each year, and then when ACES has a national conference, we'll do a training. There have been some trainings that have been done either at regional ACES or at other conferences in years past. But typically those are probably the most common places where the training occurs. We have training scheduled for this conference coming up in Montreal for the Saturday afternoon block of time, 1:30 to 4:30, I believe. And that's going to be a very interesting training because ACA is doing their conference in conjunction with the Canadian Counseling Association. It's actually going to be a joint team member training. So we're going to have members from KCEP, which is the Canadian Council for the Accreditation of Counselor Education Programs, coming in and doing training with us at the same time. So we're going to be cross-training our respective team members. So that should prove to be real interesting, learning their process and having conversations about that and talking and just meeting some of our colleagues across the border.
Yes, it definitely sounds interesting. It sounds like it's for anybody looking to get involved at a larger scale for service for the counseling field, it sounds like a wonderful way to learn about other programs and to really contribute.
It is. And one of the things that I learned, and I started my initial site team training in 1998, and I just was struck with how much of an opportunity you get to meet other people that you would ordinarily not have an opportunity to meet and get to know. So being a site team member is very difficult. It's a very time-consuming professional development opportunity, if you will, because it is very time-consuming. However, I learn a lot whenever I go on a site team visit, and I have an opportunity to meet people at these institutions and my fellow site team members. I'm spending 12, 14, 16 hours a day working with these other members of my site team, and we get to know each other fairly well. And as I said, people I never would have really had an opportunity to meet, I now have had an opportunity to chat with and get to know, and we connect at conferences and visit and so on. So being a site team member is very rewarding piece of service. And you know, I've heard that from so many different people who are site team members. It's just a real positive experience.
I can feel your enthusiasm for it, and I would guess this must be something you're committed to go ahead and become chair of such an organization.
Yes, well, and you know, it was interesting because I was very honored and surprised to be asked to be on the board. And at the time, I was asked as to be the ACES division representative, which is certainly one of the divisions that I most closely associate with, and historically, at least for ACES, and I think has been true over the years with a lot of the board division appointees, they have typically tended to be the professionals have been in the field longer. You know, your associates and full professors who have been around for a while and have been working and contributing to the field. It's been interesting looking at the board makeup at this point and how there's been a shift in the board structure and the board individuals on the board to younger counselor educators and professionals. And I just think that's a generational shift, and I think I'm part of that, and I feel real pleased and honored to be a part of that. And then to have been asked to be the chair as a result of my work is just adding a huge bonus to that honor. And I'm very humbled by it and very privileged, in my opinion.
You had mentioned at ACA that there will be this joint training with Canadian Council for Accreditation Programs.
Yeah, right.
What other events will KCREP have going on at ACA, which is in end of March?
Yeah, the end of March.
Beginning of April.
actually, and I'm glad you asked, the Friday night we have a reception, KCREP does, that we're going to be putting out invitations for. KCREP is celebrating its 25th year, this whole year, 25th year anniversary for the organization. KCREP has been around for 25 years, and that's a pretty amazing accomplishment, if you ask me. And we've done a lot. The organization has done a lot. And we want to recognize all the programs that we can and all the people that have contributed. There have been a lot of boards, a lot of board members, a lot of board chairs, a lot of people who are site team members and site team chairs, and just all these people that have contributed to developing an organization that is interesting. And not a lot of people know this, but KCREP is highly respected as as a specialized accreditor outside of the counseling field. There are a lot of accreditors out there for all the professional disciplines, you know, in the workforce, or a large number of them have accrediting bodies in some capacity. For example, you know, we have NCATE for colleges of education. Well, that's an accrediting board, and then and that's a national level, of course. But there are accrediting associations for accounting and engineering and medicine. And KCREP is a member of CHEA, C-H-E-A, which is the Council for Higher Education Accreditation, which is the accrediting board of accreditors. So what we, and we're members of that organization, and through the work of our executive director, Carol Bobby, I think that KCREP has really developed a very solid reputation among those accreditors. I think that that is in large part due to the work of our executive director and due to the volunteer service that has been provided by so many different people in the field over this 25-year history. We are very well respected among other accrediting bodies, and I think it is just a testament to all the effort that people have put in. From the very beginning, people were sitting around a coffee table at one point trying to figure out how we're going to do this accreditation process. To today, where we're talking about at this point in the January board meeting, we crossed 200 institutions that are now accredited by KCREP with over 450, I don't remember the exact number, but well over 450 different program tracks that are accredited across the country, which is a pretty substantial accomplishment.
I think that it sounds like quite an accomplishment.
Yes, it is. And that includes some programs that are international. KCREP has accredited two programs in Canada, and I know that there's a program in Mexico that's they've been talking to us and are interested in possibly submitting a self-study in the near future.
And is that something that would be in the future on the horizon for KCREP as you look ahead? Is this more of a connection in the international field?
Yes. Well, certainly, as counseling grows both nationally and internationally, that just creates a lot of opportunities for us to think about. And we are very committed to the promotion of counselor education and counseling in other parts of the world. You know, KCREP has been contacted many times by counselor educators and people from other countries to provide expertise and assistance. Just recently, I had the opportunity to go to Venezuela and meet with counselor educators down there, and that was just a wonderful experience to see how they're operating and what they're doing and what their, quote, counseling world is all about. And in some ways, it's very similar. Other ways, it's very different. In one meeting that I had with about a dozen counselor educators down there, which, mind you, was through interpretation, because we had translators and interpreters for us. It was very interesting to hear how these counselor educators, both in the profession of counseling and also just in counselor ed, how they were struggling with so many of the same issues that we struggle with. The challenges were somewhat universal, which was reassuring on one level, but also helpful. And that if we're all struggling with some of the same issues, then maybe collectively we can put our heads together and come up with some solutions that will cross borders. portability is certainly one of the conversations out there that people talk about. You know, how can we make things more affordable, both within state, state-to-state travel. But you know, I think one of the things that we have to think about at one point is portability across national borders. And, you know, who knows where that's going to take us, but that's certainly something that I think might be on the long-term horizon for the field. We are in the process right now of having the standards translated into Spanish, and that's been a very interesting and challenging project because we want to make sure that that translation is accurate and fits, because there are, as I've learned, there are a variety of different Spanish versions that you could have, and so we're trying to develop appropriate Spanish translation for people to talk, so that people in Spanish speaking countries can understand what we're about and what KCRUP is about. And the board passed a motion at the July board meeting to promote the development of an international agenda for KCRUP. So we, and as a result of that, what we've done is we're in the process of considering the formulation of a new organization that will just focus on accreditation and fostering accreditation in other countries. I've had invitations to go to Turkey as one example. Other countries are contacting the office on a regular basis. How can they develop accreditation in their own country, and how can we help with that? So it's a very exciting time, and I think that what we're seeing here is the acknowledgement of what counseling provides as a discipline for the counseling needs of people in other countries that maybe some of the other helping disciplines aren't fitting or aren't fulfilling, that counseling can really develop a niche and provide a service that the others aren't necessarily providing. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see and exciting to see what happens in that area for KCRUP over the next 15 years.
Absolutely. It sounds very exciting. And I'll tell you, I was just thinking that having the KCRUP standards translated into Spanish will be helpful even just within the country, especially
yes.
if we encourage and look to have more bilingual and Spanish-speaking clinicians and,
right.
and counselor educators. So.
Well, and the other thing about that, too, you know, is, I mean, we have... There's one program in the country that has a partnership with the University of Mexico in Mexico City. And, you know, just having the opportunity for that program to be able to have professional conversations with faculty down there, and rather than have to sit there and explain some of the terminology through interpreters if need be, or even if I speak Spanish, am I using the right terminology to explain what I need to explain? Rather than have to worry about all that, I can sit there with my English document and the Spanish document and say, here it is on page so-and-so, you know, and it's right there in easy and understandable terminology. That translation has been done, we're on the final stages of it, but it, three different counselor educators in three different Central and South American countries looked at it, and now we're putting it together into a unified Spanish version, which is going to be very, very interesting and exciting to see how it comes out.
It definitely sounds like it.
So, you know, and it's amazing to think about the fact, again, I go back to the 25-year anniversary, you know, you think about the professionals who started this, like I said, you know, it started in the early 80s and the late 70s, and some people sitting around coming up with this idea, you know, and saying, hey, you know, we need to develop some kind of standards for training. And actually, it even dates the 70s. I mean, people were talking about this in the 60s and how that evolved. And to think about it now, when we're talking about other countries contacting us saying, how can you help us develop I use in Turkey, for example, how can you help us develop a Turkish accreditation council or a Venezuelan accreditation council? We'll be going back to Venezuela this year to do just that, which is going to be really exciting.
That sounds like it. So you said along with the 25 years, we're seeing this acknowledgement and awareness of the need to become more international and become part of this global community. Just out of curiosity, how many different versions of or revisions of cake prep have there been in the 25 years of the standards?
We had 1988 set of standards, and then the 1994 set, and or maybe it was 1987, and then 94, and then 2001, and now we're working on the 2008 set.
Okay.
We generally operate on a 7-year cycle with the standards, which is very interesting because, again, one of the awarenesses that I've had as chair and being on the board, you know, I've been on the board for a couple of years. I started the fall of 2002, and very early on, we were talking about standards revision. We began in 2003 talking, and again, much more strongly in 2004. Okay, we've got to do this for standards revision. What's the first step? How do we proceed? Well, that was 2004. That was only 3 years after the last set had been adopted and implemented. And my reaction was, well, wait a minute, we just got this set. Why are we now starting over? But the interesting thing is the standards revision process is it's a 3 to 3.5 year process. It's not something that we just kind of sit down over a weekend and put together a new set of standards. So it is very involved and a very long process, and I'm glad that it is, because there is a lot of thought and deliberation that goes into this by this committee and subsequently by the board. And by the committee, I'm referring to the Standards Revision Committee that has been impaneled by the board to put together the next set of standards.
And I know one of the listservs said that there was some communication about different concerns with the first draft that was released of the, what year will it be, the
2008.
The 2008 standards, and there was some talk about, you know, will people's comments be listened to? I know at ESIS there was the opportunity for feedback and for people to be able to come and offer opinions. I'm guessing something similar at AC.
Right, and the process has, like I said, it's been involved and very involved since well before the ACES conference. That was the unveiling of the first draft. But once the Standards Revision Committee, the SRC, once the SRC was formed, then they began meeting to decide how they wanted to proceed. What were they going to do, and how were they going to carry out the revision process. But even before that committee was ever impaneled by the board sat down and developed a list of guidelines. These are the charges that the board wanted the committee to look at from many perspectives. First of all, there were guidelines. For example, more is not necessarily better. That was one of the specific charges that we didn't want just a new set of standards that was longer in pages and words. We wanted something to make sense that met the needs of the profession both now and in the future. And if that meant trimming and reducing where appropriate, then we wanted the SRC to do that. We also said, you know, nothing sacred. You go look at the whole set of standards and determine what you think needs to be done. Well, with that in mind, then, of course, one of the issues is looking at all the different specialty areas. Are all the specialty areas necessary? And they may not be. Well, with all those charges, and I've only listed a few, there were numerous, that was where the board started the standard revision process. And then we impaneled this committee and got them rolling, and they ended up collecting some initial data that was just a call for input. And they had a survey that they wanted a lot of people around the country, a lot of people that were involved in the standards, to sit down and say, okay, what do you think? What do we need to look at? What do we need to address? What's your impression with the standards so far? What areas do you think we should improve upon? What areas do you think should remain the same? And they collected all that data and began reviewing it. So what ended up happening is standards, with the draft one, was a result of their feedback that they received from all the people that submitted responses to their survey online. And then their considered opinion on where the set of standards could move to. Now, the important thing to remember about the standards revision is that what people received at ACES and what's been available on the web pages of both ACA and BCC as well as the KCREC web page is draft one, meaning
there's
there are
going
to be other drafts, absolutely. That what the standards revision committee was looking to do was to come up with their framework, their structure, how they were looking to put together the new set of standards, and then they floated a lot of ideas. And some of them were extremely well received, and some of the feedback was very important and good to hear, because I think a lot of people were concerned about some directions of the new set of standards, and that was perfect, because that's exactly what you want. The only way anybody will ever know whether or not to look at doing some changes is if we say, can we change this? What do you think? And then we hear what people think. And then we figure out whether or not we're going to proceed with that or not. So they received a lot of feedback, and it's been very good. We had some really good working meetings at ACES conference. We had upwards of 50 and 60 people in our three-hour working session, and we had small focus groups based on discipline areas. The Standards Revision Committee worked with all these small groups on the bulk of the introductory standards, the core set, and then they broke up into specialty areas and got feedback there. And I was in there the whole time. I watched the whole process. I did not participate. I just observed. And it was very, very interesting to watch how it evolved. And we got great feedback from people. And then they've taken that feedback. We've also had an electronic feedback process through the web that people could do, or they could just fill out a paper and pencil copy. We've received feedback from various professional associations, AMCA, ASCA, a lot of different groups affiliated with ACA. So we've received feedback from a huge number of sources. And then their job now, and they just here in February, have begun meeting again to integrate all that feedback into Draft 2. I think right now the projected date for Draft 2 would be the fall.
Of this year.
Maybe late summer, but I don't think so. Most likely sometime in the fall semester. And then we'll do the same thing again. We'll get more feedback from people. People can read Draft 2 and sit down and look at it and see what they think, and then give some feedback. And then they'll go back and revise again with all that feedback in place and then come up with a new set. And then the board will vote on the new set of standards in the July 2007 board meeting.
Okay, so a little over a year, about a year and a half.
Yeah. And then those standards actually won't take effect until the July 1, 2008. That's so everybody, once we vote on them as a board, then we will disseminate the new set of standards, and then everybody will have them for a year to start learning and seeing how they are and seeing what they need to do, and it'll be just like last time. You know, what do we need to address, and how, as a program, what do I need to change if I'm going to either apply for initial accreditation or reaccreditation under the new set of standards? And that won't be any different than what happened in 2001 or in 1994. Now, the other real interesting thing, and you know, it is an evolving process, and one of the things that this board elected to do at the board meeting where we developed the charge is we also passed a motion in which we are going to not micro edit the final draft. We've provided input to the Standards Revision Committee as well. They come to our board meetings every, twice a year and give us updates, the chair or one of the other designated people by the chair if he can't make it. And they keep us posted. We spent at this January meeting an hour and a half with the SRC designee to discuss our feedback on draft one. And so we said, hey, what about this? What about that? Have you all thought about this? Please think about this. Because our perspective is not so much just the standard, but as a board and as an organization, how do we enforce a standard? or how does that standard become operationalized?
Mm-hmm.
And that's very difficult because we also have to take into account what programs can manage, what they can't manage, and legalities of standards, the realities of standards, that kind of stuff. But what will happen is, in July 2007, when they end up bringing us the last draft, then we will vote on it as is without making changes to it.
Okay.
Which is something that we've learned from past standard revision processes. So it's very involved, and it takes time. And I feel very comfortable that what needs to happen will happen through this process.
Well, I'll tell you, I certainly have a greater appreciation for all of the behind the scenes that go out behind just seeing the next document come across the desk saying, okay, this is the new stuff we have to do.
Well, and it's amazing the behind the scenes stuff that a lot of people aren't aware of. And you know, we have a 6-person task force, our standards committee, and all of those names are on the webpage in terms of our SRC committee. There's 6 well-respected counselor educators from across the country. We've got a lot of representation at different ranks of professor, a lot of representation in terms of the different specialty areas. And so it's a very good working group. And I just think, let's just say that standard revision would not be a task that I would volunteer to do. it's a huge task.
Sounds like it.
And I just have such good feelings about what they're doing, and I'm just so impressed with the degree of the amount of work that they're putting in on this.
And just as a side note, what the KCREP website is?
I'm sorry?
What's the KCREP website, if anybody's interested in?
KCREP.org.
Okay, so it's just CACREP.org.
Yes. Yep. So standard revision is a big time, and we're looking forward to it. And it's what it does is it gives us an opportunity as a profession to look at how we're training people and move our profession forward. Our profession moves forward through a lot of different ways, and one of the ways that it moves forward is through our training program.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we monitor and manage that is through accreditation and having high levels of standards of training.
All right. Well, you have a lot to think about during all of this. Is there any final pieces possibly in the future for KCREP or any relationships that might be developing?
Well, you know, we have been having some very positive conversations with the leadership of CORE. CORE is the Council on Rehab Education, Rehabilitation, and that has been a very positive dialogue. And we've been talking about how some kind of merger possibility might actually strengthen the profession of counseling as a whole. And I think that we feel that it would be a very positive move for us to consider. And so I've been having conversations with the president of the CORE Board of Directors. We've had several meetings over the past 2 years regarding merger possibilities. And what that might look like, and if it's possible, and how it might unfold. We're very supportive of the idea of there being one accrediting organization for the counseling field, and I think that this ongoing dialogue has just been very positive. If nothing else, it's raised a really good and important question about speaking with one voice as a discipline and the unification of the field, which I think is very important, that we do have one voice as a counseling profession. So, where that goes at this point, I don't know. It's still very early in that whole process, but I've just been very, very pleased with how my work with the CORE leadership and how receptive they've been, and the tone of the conversations has been very positive. So, who knows where that will go. It should prove to be very interesting over the next year or two.
So it's something for us to kind of keep our eyes on.
Absolutely. And, one of the things that I do on a twice-a-year basis, we publish the KCREP Connection, which is the KCREP newsletter. So all of our KCREP mm-hmm. programs receive that, the KCREP liaison, and the programs get that, as well as our site team members and chairs, they get those. And one of the things that I do is I write a chair's report or a chair's column. So I'll be talking about that merger possibility as it unfolds and keeping people posted. The other thing that I think in terms of in the future, that it's not an easy topic to talk about and certainly isn't one that people necessarily like to talk about, but that is our fees and looking at how we are financially as an organization. It's important that we be very solvent and that our fees pay for our work. And that right now, that is one of my primary goals as a chair, aside from dealing with and managing the projects that are already in the works. As chair, it is a goal of mine specifically to re-examine our fee structure. We have begun the process of transitioning our board from a division-appointed board to a self-appointed board, and I feel very good about that. That's been a very challenging but ultimately positive process. And now the next step for that, as we become more freestanding and on our own, is to look at our fees and make sure that we're actually able to afford to be on our own and do what we need to do with the money that we generate. And so, that's on the horizon. And like I said, when you talk about fees, that's not an easy conversation to have. And people say, oh no, what are we going to have to pay next? And I would say that, a solid and financially strong KPREP will only benefit the profession. And what I would also say is, it's not a huge moneymaker in the field, and so it's not as if we are making huge amounts of money. We're a fairly break-even organization right in that area, and I don't think that, I think sometimes there may be a misunderstanding out there, a misperception of the public that we're bringing in huge amounts of money. The board is very, very responsible fiscally. They are very aware of where the money for our budget comes from and how that money is derived and who pays it, and being very responsible with how we spend it. And that's a very important part of our conversation at every board meeting, from our treasurer's report and how the board responds to our expenditures. And so that'll be something I'll be talking about in my chair's reports over the next year or so, because I don't want there to be any surprises, but I do want people to know that we're taking the financial aspect of what we do very seriously as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got a few things on the horizon that should prove to be quite an interesting year or two.
Yes, it should. So I guess we'll wish KPREP a happy 25th anniversary.
Thank you very much, and we hope that people will come to our reception.
Yeah, I was going to say at ACA, we'll look forward to something else to getting to meet you.
Absolutely.
I assume you'll be there.
I will be there, and our reception, like I said, will be Friday night. I believe it's at 7 o'clock.
And that's the 31st?
On the 31st, and you can look in the program and at the conference for the location. It'll be a fun time, and we're hoping that people will actually wear their university affiliation shirts or sweatshirts or hats or something, because we would like for all the universities that show up and people from the various programs, so that when they come, to display their universities proudly. That would be our goal.
So you'll have to do a combination of KPREP and UNCC?
I probably will wear a UNCC hat and my KPREP sweatshirt or T-shirt or something like that.
Well, that will work. I want to thank you very much, Jack.
Thank you very much
for sharing all of this with us today.
It's been a pleasure, and I appreciate your asking me the questions and allowing us to talk about what's going on at KPREP.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You've just heard Dr. Jack Culbreth of the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, regarding KCREP and the standards revision process. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.